This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Oh, to be 24. I'm going to say, I assume that's my age in this episode. Episode 24, funnily enough. And we continue bi-hemisphere. Don't think that's a proper term, but it's worth putting out there. I'm in Copenhagen. I'm living large. I'm with my friend Matt Wright. And Tim is, he's still sort of neglecting his social life in Auckland at this point in time. And honestly, you know, the world is young in this episode. We're both using Twitter a lot, a social media app on the rise. We're speculating, this is how long ago this is, we're speculating that Rob Schneider is not in Grown Ups 2, not because no one wanted him there, but because he made that decision to save his career. I mean, we're miles off base, really. But we're having fun. There's a good spirit in this one. And I think we're also taking quite a sort of a broader or cosmic view of the podcast at about the halfway mark of our first season, where I think to gain an appreciation for the fact we're doing it, doing it at all while we are apart, we're both trying to take the long view, the sort of Google Maps view, where we look down on this decision and think, that is funny because it's wrong. We're also name-checking Zac Efron. We're working through, you know, at the time we don't know, but what will become our future creative fodder. So, yeah, feel like the season's building up ahead of steam at this point. So is my holiday. Little sneeze off mic there. Hope you didn't pick it up. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to The Worst Idea of All Time. My name is Guy Montgomery.
And my name is Tim Andrew Batt.
Are we doing full names?
We are this week, brother.
My name is Guy Alexander Halifax Montgomery.
And you're speaking to Timothy Andrew Batt, and we have just watched Grown Ups 2 for the 24th time. Welcome to this episode of The Worst Idea of All Time.
And it's party time. I'm coming to you live from sunny Copenhagen. It's 11:23. The temperature outside, I would say, is roughly 25 degrees Celsius. The Danish people are wandering around in their shorts and singlets, smiling at each other because they're so goddamn attractive. And I'm holed up in this house with Tim Batt for company. A drunk Tim Batt, I hasten to add.
You're not wrong, and it's just occurred to me that I've actually come into the recording studio with nary a lick of alcohol in sight, so I don't quite know what the solution to that is, but, oh, actually, Guy, because you're on Skype, the beauty is I can take my laptop and get beer or whiskey, which I have brought. So do you want a pad for about 45 seconds? I won't be able to talk, but I'll be able to hear everything you say. Talk me through what happened this week in the episode.
Okay. I can't believe we're actually taking a break on the podcast to satisfy Tim's rampant alcoholism. But this week we live-tweeted the whole viewing of Grown Ups 2, and I got to say, we really ran that town for the hour 41 minutes that Grown Ups 2 runs for. I lost quite a lot of followers. Tim, for some reason, was gaining them. I don't quite know what was going on there, because my tweets were obviously much more entertaining than Tim's, but it's neither here nor there. It's not about competition. It's about unity. It's about brotherhood and friendship. And I could really use some company.
Oh,
right,
yeah,
now,
you're not
Tim.
Wrong. It's about Twitter uniting the world. It's about hashtags bringing people together. It's about the Budweiser, which I just procured from the kitchen, and Johnny Walker Red Label, which I bought from the liquor store earlier. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I mean, in terms of viewing experience, I actually didn't really check out too much of the movie this week, if I'm being completely honest with you. I had the headphones in, I had it on a small screen, it took up about a quarter of my computer screen, and the rest of it was just Twitter. I was just blasting Twitter. That was the most tweets I've ever done.
Yeah, dude, I think we probably tweeted more tonight than we had collectively since we both joined Twitter. Like, there were hundreds of tweets happening.
Yeah. And as I was saying earlier, not all of them popular. What are you going to do?
Not all of them popular, not all of them positive, not all of them grammatically
in fact,
correct.
If I look at my recent activity timeline on Twitter right now, it's pretty much just us masturbating each other off. Like, it's just Tim Bat is all up in my business, and I'm imagining I'm all up in yours.
Yeah.
And occasionally someone tries and dips their toe in the pool, but we just blast them right out of there.
We have, like, when we say live tweeted the movie, we mean that in the most genuine sense of the word. Like, pretty much every minute of this movie had at least a tweet from both me and Guy. And considering that the movie is,
141 minutes.
An hour 41.
Oh,
so
no,
what does
no.
that pan out to? 101 minutes. Like, that's a lot of tweets. So we definitely probably did a couple hundred tweets
and
each this week.
I got to be honest with you. It was a refreshing way to go about doing this podcast, because I didn't feel like the sort of slow-moving sense of dread as each scene sort of lumbers into the next one. Or actually, it's hasty, isn't it? I was invigorated. I was enjoying myself. My brain was firing. I was going, choo-choo, choo.
And some pretty big names got involved. We had Di Henwood came into the foray and promised to do one of the future podcasts with us. Ben Hurley was all up in our grill. Adam Wright from Wellington got involved. My mate Harmona. There was a lot of people who got involved with the conversation. And that just adds what's that song? Cat Power? Throwing gasoline on the fire, something.
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking
really
about. It's
important.
David Bowie. It's a good song.
It's really important that you know your cultural references before you dive into them, Tim.
Fair call. But we want to get away from that. If you want to revisit all of that, that's the history, but you can just search the hashtag grownups2. Something that concerned me greatly is when I was typing out #grownups2 is that #grownups3 was pre-populated. Like, that's a thing that's so popular at the moment that Twitter assumed that I'd be talking about that.
I imagine.
So I'm just going to do a quick investigation and see what comes up under that hashtag.
I'd like to think that rumours are swirling that Grown Ups 3 is currently in the works. I've actually got an interesting revelation to make to you, Tim. I watched the trailer for an upcoming Ben Stiller film a few days ago called A Night at the Museum, something to do with a tomb. It's the third A Night at the Museum, right?
Holy fuck,
and
are you serious?
In watching the trailer, This thing is absolutely chock-a-block with stars. Robin Williams, Ricky Gervais, Owen Wilson. It's all happening. And
that is a sky of stars.
That's right. And watching this trailer, this is the first time actually that I've been watching something and been like, now that movie looks like it deserves to be watched 52 times. It's a part of me now. There's just a tickle that sometimes needs to be scratched on my end, which is I need to be involved. You know, like. That's a filter through which I look at movie trailers now. It's really odd.
That's depressing.
I mean, you should watch the trailer and tell me what you think.
Of what?
Of what I was just talking about, A Night at the Museum 3.
Oh yeah, I tuned out for a second because I was seeing some tweets on the #grownups3. Sorry, Bill.
This is no way to run a podcast.
Listen, it's not a wave of focus, I'll admit, at the moment. I've got a Johnny Walker Red 1 litre bottle to my right. I've got a fresh Budweiser open to my left.
More importantly, quickly, is what were your options? I mean, you're drunk and alone in a room with a computer right now. Alternate to that, what were your sort of social options on a Friday night in the bohemia that is Auckland City?
Well, work invited me to join them at the Head Like a Hole concert, which is the first time they've had a live gig in quite a while. And Booger Beasley, lead singer of Head Like a Hole, great man, a bit of a mate of mine, I'd be tempted to say.
Yeah, so
I would quite like to see Hilar tonight, but
not only,
there's a commitment factor that comes in.
Not only do you like the music, but you're actually friends with one of the band members.
Well, like, Booger's just, he's a dude. I don't know, friends might be taking it too far. He probably wouldn't call me a friend, but, you know, he's a good dude, and I'd love to see him, and I like Hilar, and It would be good. But I said nay. I said nay. There's two house parties which I've said nay to this evening as well, just in the interim, while I record this little puppy. So this is my Friday night, NZT, 1st of August.
So you've probably passed up like the opportunity to spend time with cumulatively over 200 different people to instead be
at a minimum.
At a minimum.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this?
I'll tell you what, going in, horrible, really depressed and very down on my luck and very self-pitying. But as the night's gone on and I've injected more alcohol into the old bloodstream, I felt better about the commitment that I've made to the podcast, to the movie, and to you, Guy Montgomery, and to our fans, more importantly, to the dozens, to the ones and ones of people still listening to our escapades in film. It's to them.
This one's for you. And if you take a step outside of your own body and look at the situation objectively, I mean, how do you feel about the life decisions you've made to get you to this point?
Not great. There's definitely a lot of things I could have done better to avoid being right here. But in light of everything, things could be worse. I could be dead. I could be in Gaza. You know, I'm okay.
Never afraid to touch on politics here at The Worst Idea of All Time. Much like Grown Ups 2, we'll delve into anything with reckless abandon.
Yeah, so, I mean, shit, should we get into the movie? Should we talk about that?
I'm actually quite enjoying the sort of vaguely philosophical strain of conversation that we've currently tapped into.
Okay, well then allow me to pick up that ball and run with it, Guy, because currently what I love about the podcast at the moment is that it's disrupting a overseas adventure that you're on at the moment. You're on a genuine vacation for 7 or 8 weeks. On the other side of the globe, you're in Europe, you're visiting fantastic cities. My understanding is you're still in Denmark at the moment. Tell me about it.
Well, with regards to the podcast, I've got to say I can appreciate the humour in it, in that I'm in these beautiful cities, and occasionally, I'm going to be honest with you, Tim, I've woken up with a hangover once or twice and been faced with the strength of the anaconda that we have to wrestle here in the form of Grown Ups 2.
I'll bet.
And it's an interesting sort of seasoning to the trip. It's an interesting thing to pepper in to. I've never been to Europe before, you know. I mean, I'm fascinated by this place. It's incredible. And I just constantly have this sort of anvil or stone of shame to drag around with me. In fact, I'd be more akin to call it the stone of triumph in a Simpsons reference because it's bigger. This is the size of the sort of obstacle.
Mm.
It's just weird. It feels really weird.
And for those of you who aren't aware of the reference that Guy's making at the moment, it's the Stonecutters episode, which is one of the finest in the golden era of The Simpsons.
Yeah, I've been watching a few episodes of The Simpsons in my downtime over here, and it's just packed with jokes. The other thing I was going to say, actually, is I went to an open-air screening in a Royal Flowers Park or Roses Park here in Copenhagen of The Shining.
Roses Park? Is that what it's really called? Roses Park?
Not in English. No, that's quite a good pun name if you wanted to name a park after Rosa Parks, though.
If you wanted to make a funny about one of the great icons of the civil disobedience movement, bloody Roses Park, classic.
We've stumbled into one. But The Shining, this is one thing that watching Grown Ups 2 every week does do, is it gives me a real appreciation for other films. Have you seen The Shining?
Do you know what? Never seen it.
I had not seen this movie before either, but it is absolutely fucking phenomenal. And Danes are weird. They laugh at all the scary bits. They've got a weird sense of humour.
Who do? Germans or Danish?
Danish people. I don't really know. Right. Germans seem like they have a pretty normal sense of humour. I don't know about the stereotype.
Do they, bro?
Yeah, I reckon they were all good. Although it's hard to tell because I might have just been laughing at the accent partially. You know how when you first meet someone with a foreign accent, you give them like a 2-week grace period where everything they say is fascinating because it sounds different?
Correct.
Yeah, I could have done that because I was only there for 2 weeks.
You're in the full grace period for your entire duration of visit.
That's right. But I do feel like they get a bit of a hard rap, the sense of humour.
Sorry, I just read a tweet which really threw me off my stride.
Do you know what I've done to prevent distractions such as this? Is I've blacked out my entire screen.
Sorry. I'll turn that shit off. It's off. It's gone. Sorry. It was about Zac Efron and a potential child pedophilia ring in Hollywood, but we don't need to get into it.
You sound very muffled.
Oh, yeah, that's because I shut my screen, which has got the mic attached. See, this is a nightmare. Okay, there we go. Now I've just shut Twitter down. There we go.
This is a hot mess of a podcast. Did you say Zac Efron involved in a pedophilia?
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You shouldn't read.
We don't need to get into it. We're not getting into it. That's the whole point of me bringing it up. The whole point of me bringing it up is that we don't need to get into it.
But why? I see. No, okay, I get it. That makes sense. Well done. I agree.
You can ask the obvious question if you wish. Why bring it up if you wanted to get away from it? And the answer is I brought it up to get away from it.
It sounds like circular logic, but you do what you've got to do, Tim.
You got me there, Monty. You got me there.
So of the snippets of the film that you did give your undivided attention as you tweeted your way through this shit show, what stuck out to you this week, Tim?
The performer of one Salma Hayek.
Yeah? What do you think?
Varied. Varied. If I could describe it in a word, it would be varied, because I feel like within Grown Ups 2, she gives both the performance of a lifetime, her lifetime, because she's not that great an actor, but also some of the worst performances she's ever given on film. So it's like it's all there on display. If you wanted a full reel of her talent, this is the movie, because it displays her at her worst and her best.
That's a good analogy. Erratic. I mean, if she was to be compared to a sports star in her performance in this film, flashes of brilliance, but sort of inconsistent and occasionally lazy.
The interesting thing about the example you've picked, which is a sports star, Monty, is you haven't gone specific by picking a sports star, nor in your terminology have you suggested any sports lingo whatsoever. So I'm struggling to see why you sort of preface that with sports star.
Well, okay, you know, like a soccer player, a football star who plays for Tottenham Hotspur, and he's young, even though Selma Hayek's
pick
old.
One. Pick one. You got to name a dude.
You don't.
This is how references work. You name a person.
No.
You say, if it was like in the sports arena.
No, listen.
Then you say it's like David Tua, once the greatest boxer that Australasia has ever known.
Because then you potentially alienate certain listeners who don't understand the reference. If you keep it broad.
No.
The analogy remains accessible to everyone.
If you operate the reference correctly, what you would do is drop the name, you get bonus points for those who recognise it, and then you go on to explain why they are like that person through adjectives, which everyone can then get on board with, thus growing the broader audience out.
I think,
and they feel like they've picked up a joke that they didn't have before to put in their pocket so they can use it the water cooler on a Monday.
It's a powerful...
This is how references work.
It's a powerful argument. I'm saying in the context of this podcast, with listeners who I assume have a tenuous interest at best with the current conversation, I'm not going to risk losing any unnecessary fans or listeners with a specific reference. That might be the breaking point, the straw that broke the camel's back, so to speak. And they say, look, this is too obscure, I'm out.
Guy, how in any way are you concerned about us losing people at this point? Like, the very endeavour is us watching one of the shittest comedies ever made. No, hear me out. One of the shittest comedies ever made, once a week, 52 times in a row. If they're not down with anything, they're gone, okay? Like, these people are DTF'd up. They're down to get fucked up by a podcast.
Yeah, if I'm being completely honest, the argument I laid out just before was... It was argument for the sake of argument. I agree with you on this one, Tim. I dropped the analogy ball, and I feel like I've really lost my train of thought accordingly. Although you really...
Can I ask you, personal question, though?
Yeah, go for it.
Can I ask you a personal question? I mean, I know that, like, we were both there exposed to the movie and sort of watching the movie, and definitely both very much listening to the movie the whole way through this week. But did you have a shining light this week, bro?
I like that this is a personal question. You're accessing a part of me I don't really give away to anyone, Tim, all right?
I was trying to pad while you thought of a shining light because I felt like you would probably know where I was going with this.
I'm not just some two-bit floozy, all right? If you want to know my shining light, you gotta treat me right. You've gotta be a gentleman.
Well, let me ask you real kind and real nice right now, Guy Montgomery, what part of this terrible film stood out to you this 24th watch as being not bad?
There were two bits. Oh, but I guess I only do one. I really liked when David Spade, they were sort of, I was watching it in a meta sense, so I was seeing if anyone broke the fourth wall, because you know how you can imagine, like, you can read certain lines of dialogue as definitely breaking the fourth wall, like cries for help within the movie to the audience. And David Spade, when he gets put in the tire, he says, this is peer pressure, you guys are bullies. And in his delivery of the line, I like to imagine that he was trying to get out of the glass cage that he is in and tell everyone watching, like, I'm not down with this.
Because it's interesting because, what's his name? Who was in the first one but he's not in the second one?
Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider managed to break out of the glass.
Yeah, he facade. Did. He did. Brave man.
Was he doing something? Like, was he involved in a project which conflicted timeline-wise with this? Or did he just decide he didn't want to be involved?
I get the feeling he just decided, look, at this point, this is more harmful for my career than it is good. And
this is a man who did The Animal.
Look, I said it last week, I'll say it again. The Animal isn't an awful movie.
Okay, you can say it. It doesn't make it true, but you can say it.
I can say it.
For sure.
I'm pretty sure that they didn't even use an actress to play the female lead. They just hired some chick from the first season of Survivor. That's a fact.
Good God. Good God.
I don't know how I know that. Did you watch the first season of Survivor? It was really good back then. Fuck, Survivor's been going for ages.
Nah, man, I didn't.
There was this guy, I think his name was Richard, and he was really manipulative. This is before reality shows were everywhere, and it was amazing to watch someone actually, like, play people, because there was no strategy involved. Everyone was just being genuine, and he was just fucking on the hustle.
Survivor started pre-9/11, bro? It kicked off in the year 2000. Like, that was pre-9/11, bro.
It's 14. And do they sometimes do two seasons a year? I feel like there's been more than 14 seasons of Survivor.
Oh, there's been way more. Yeah, there's been a shit ton, bro, because they keep moving it all around the world and pretending like it's a different thing.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my shining light. What was yours, Tim?
Well, I guess the varied performance of Selma Hayek was one aspect to it. But the main one was this week. I got really attracted to the fact that Stone Cold Steve Austin, playing Tommy Kavanagh, who is the bully of Adam Sandler, our lead in the film,
yes,
for some reason throws in this strange nationalist strain into the movie. This pitch of, he introduces this concept that his son is fighting in the US armed forces. He doesn't specify if it's the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force. But that he's in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And it's just so at odds with everything else that we've experienced in the film. And there's something beautiful about that. It's like we're at the end of the movie. Like, this is it. We're wrapping it up. We're getting everything done. And then, boom, we've got a brand new tone in there. And this tone is a patriotism tone.
That's just the movie sort of, I feel like, for all of the wrongs that they've done. I mean, I don't think people who watch the movie will be particularly sensitive to the wrongs that are perpetuated throughout it. But I feel like it's just the movie clutching at some more straws to be relevant and also sort of have some semblance of a moral compass or a family undertone.
Yeah.
Because you've got to remember, this is meant to be a family movie. And I feel like it's just one last fucking, just throwing spaghetti against a wall and hoping it's cooked. And they're just thinking, if this sticks, then people will think that we're American.
And you've got to admit that getting a former WWE star to announce that his son is in Afghanistan, that is a surefire way to get Middle America to the Cineplex.
I also,
and spend their $12 on the ticket.
I also enjoyed, there's a sort of irony in that Stone Cold Steve Austin, in a movie which like is consistently advertising the idea that violence and fighting is a test of your merit as a man or whatever, there's a beautiful irony in former professional wrestler, world champion Stone Cold Steve Austin, like preaching essentially an anti-violence message, which is wasted on the whole town, who then engage in this full-scale brawl with women and children unsafe, men just beating up anything in sight.
It would be akin, from a political scale, to Dick Cheney suddenly adopting a pacifist outlook and saying, let's try Hands Across America again and see if it really takes off this time. You know, it makes no sense. It doesn't match what the history has kind of foretold that they will do. And it's a backwards world. We're in Alice in Wonderland. Let's see how deep the rabbit hole goes.
That's
I've had too many beers. Guy Montgomery, this film does not stand up to scrutiny 24 times. What say you?
I feel like you've summarized the week's learnings, Tim. I couldn't agree more. I think I didn't learn anything from this viewing. It's another day in the office. It's another day in paradise.
All right, well, let me throw this question at you. Let's, for a moment while we wrap up, if I may, let's move away from the film. You're in Europe. You're in Copenhagen. You're in one of the greatest cities on Earth in the year 2014. Tell me what your experiences have been in the last few days, what you've seen, what you've smelt, what you've experienced. Give it to me straight.
Okay. Well, I'm staying with friends Matt and Hannah, and Matt has been a fantastic host. He quite likes to advertise, because Copenhagen's not really a destination spot. And so I think sort of when he gets a friend over here, he's really excited to advertise how great the city is. So I've been lucky enough to borrow a bike for the most of my time. And Copenhagen, as I said last week, is the world's most cycle-friendly city, 3 years running. So we're biking around. There are canals everywhere to go swimming in. I did a 5-meter jump. I've just built this sort of platform that you jump off into the canal at a pool.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but let me tell you, 5-meter jump, and I'm not talking to you, Guy, because you obviously have just done the jump. I'm talking to the listeners. That's a hell of a jump.
I don't know. I tell you, I think it's not too big. I think it's a nice, comfortable height. I mean, there are kids doing it. I used to be good at jumping off high stuff, but I get scared now. Anyway.
Way to call me out, Monty. Way to call me out while I was trying to big ups you.
I just wanted everyone to understand that I'm not a pussy, and I don't think 5 meters is a very high jump.
Fair enough.
Anyway, there's a place called Christiania, which is sort of a self-governed, it's almost a small country within a country here in Copenhagen, in the heart of the city. And it's known for, it's called the Green District. And it's where they wheel and deal and smoke and toke a lot of hash and marijuana.
Oh,
it's this really, really bizarre sort of liberal haven in the middle of what is a pretty straight city. I mean, they love drinking piss over here. Danish people get smashed, but they're all like, they're all very sort of straight edge. Beyond that, they don't really venture too far into vices. Oh, they smoke too.
So just hashish.
Just hashish. And I bought some hashish.
That's pretty intense. Like, it's a hell of a drug, right?
It's all right. It's pretty good. It's sort of you just get a little bit. You get a little bit of a buzz on. You know what I'm talking about. And anyway, other things.
No, I don't. I don't, bro, because I live a clean living lifestyle.
Like, I'm on holiday. I'm on holiday, baby.
Yeah, but you're not on a holiday from God, mate. You know, the judgment still is there. He sees everything.
Anyway, tomorrow.
He's like Santa. He's like a moralistic Santa.
Look, I'm going to ignore that and advertise what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm really excited about this. There's a festival called Vanguard on here. It's in its second year. And I bought a one-day ticket. I'm going to go see Damn Funk. It's like mostly hip-hop artists. Large Professor and Lord Finesse. The Roots. Mos Def. Method Man and Red Man. The Far Side. Sean Cooty, who's fella Cootie's, who's his son and his band, Egypt 80. I'm so excited.
I'll correct you right there. It's Mos Def.
How did I say it? Mos Def.
Mos Def.
Well, it's
Mos
actually,
Def, bro.
You can say it either way. It's actually Yasin Bey.
Really?
He's changed his name anyway.
Well, very well. Guy Montgomery, I'm eternally jealous of your trip to Europe, as I've explained in prior episodes, but it is wonderful to talk to you. And I think that this one has been one of the most fun watches yet, because we were live twinning up a storm despite being on other sides of the world. We exploited globalism in the modern age where global communication knows no timely bounds or bounds of distance. And I feel like I'm closer to you as a result.
They got heartfelt. This has been a real, I've really enjoyed this podcast. It's been up and down. We've hit some highs, we've touched on some lows, and we're probably going to have to do it again in a couple of days to try and catch up. We're still one behind. It's like we're chasing ourselves.
I've had a lot of whiskey. I've got a lot of whiskey left. So let's call it a day. Let's save the rest of the whiskey for the next watch.
Yep.
And let's do it all again soon.
Have a good night, mate.
Guy Montgomery?
Yeah.
Take care of yourself. Don't ever interrupt me again. A good night, everyone. See you next time. Live every moment.
Love every day.
Because before you know it, your precious time slips away.
These walls are paper thin. Live every moment. Love.